implanted word, that's when Christian life begins. But external word is when it's nourished and it's enriched and you become disciples.
You just heard a portion of the upcoming message titled Discipleship Implanted by Pastor Abadan Shah of Clearview Church in Henderson, North Carolina. At Clearview, our focus is on making Christ visible through powerful worship and genuine community. Come check us out at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for the rest of this week's message.
Do you know someone who struggles with selective memory? Does anybody have anybody in your life who suffers with selective memory? Nobody? Parents, do you have children? They cannot figure out where their homework is, but they know every weapon combination of Fortnite. Anybody else? Do you even know what a Fortnite is? Okay, someone back there does. Ladies, do you have men in your life? This weekend is the birthday party. You told them that 10 times, they can't remember. But they know exactly when their favorite team is playing and who is going to be in the starting lineup. They know what they want to know. They remember what they care to remember. Now, what does that have to do with this message? When it comes to discipleship, again, people do what really matters to them. When we get saved, God's word is implanted in our hearts. Implanted means it is set securely deep within. That's what the Holy Spirit does. He puts the truth of God into our hearts where there is darkness and deceit and death. Now, what this implanted word does, it makes Jesus real to us. It assures us of the presence of the Holy Spirit. But something else this implanted word does, it gives us a craving, a desire for the external word, the Bible. It gives us a hunger for the truth between the books, Genesis to Revelation. Now you want this external word in your heart. In fact, the vitality of the implanted word is dependent on how much you intake the external word. Now, what does this have to do with scripture memory? When you hear me preach, or you hear your preachers preach, or you go to a Bible study or Sunday school, some of that word is coming into your heart. It is reaching the implanted word, but it's not enough. What is needed is scripture memorization, because that's when this word begins to dwell richly in all wisdom inside of you. Implanted word, that's when Christian life begins, but external word is when it's nourished and it's enriched and you become disciples. When you tell people scripture memory, oh, I'm too old for that. I can't remember hardly anything. We remember what we care to remember. You have your Bibles with you. Turn to James chapter 1. The message is called Implanted. We're going to talk about why it's important to memorize God's Word, and we're going to understand how we are to memorize God's Word. So let's all stand once again for the reading of God's Word. James chapter 1, starting in verse 19. Listen to what it says. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and I want you to say this with me, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. You see, unless we receive with meekness the implanted word, unless we feed the implanted word with the external word, what's going to come through is the filthiness and the overflow of wickedness. It's coming from here. Sin is not just out there. Sin is here that is ever present with me. Here's my question to you before we pray. How often do you read the Word of God? Do you memorize God's Word? And if you are not saved, The first place to begin that walk of discipleship is to receive Jesus as your Savior. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit does a surgery and He implants the truth in our hearts. That's when Christian life begins. Now, in the past few weeks, I've been talking about discipleship. It's a series on discipleship, and it's been exciting to see how many of you are already begun your groups, your inner circles, and it's awesome to see that. I told some of them to hold off until I finish the series, but they're like, we're already going. I said, okay, keep going. I'll catch up with you. I'll give you all the resources you need. But it's awesome to see already we had four last weekend, and now we're like six or seven. It's beautiful to see that. Now, some of you still have some questions. You're still confused about exactly how does it work? So I want to quickly recap for you. The series began with the Great Commission. In fact, the incentive to make disciples is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, verse 19. What does it say? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. It's a command that Jesus has given. It's not optional. It's not a suggestion. If you are a Christian, the command to you is go therefore and make disciples. Not to go and make disciples is to directly disobey the command of Jesus Christ. You are to go and make disciples. Now the next question is, who is a disciple? Or what does a disciple look like? And again, from the Word of God, we created this acronym, WATER, where each letter represents a facet of discipleship. W stands for witnesses. A disciple has a testimony. A stands for accountability. T is togetherness. When someone says, I believe in Jesus, I don't have to go to church. That's like saying, I love you, man. I just hate your body. The church is the body of Christ. E is established in the Word. And R stands for reproducing disciples. Next, we looked at the importance of disciplines. You need disciplines in order to be a disciple. So discipline of evangelism, discipline of confession, discipline of weekly church attendance, discipline of daily Bible intake, and the discipline of discipling. Next, we looked at the pathways to get to the discipleship. Jesus modeled the pathways for us. How did Jesus make disciples? He began with the crowd. Then he narrowed it down to the congregation, the multitudes that followed him. They heard his word. They saw his miracles. They witnessed the amazing things he did. Then he narrowed that circle even further to community, the disciples, the 70 and the 12 disciples. And he didn't stop there. He narrowed it even further to the inner circle. Who was in Jesus' inner circle? Peter, James, and John. Folks, discipleship doesn't happen in large communities. Narrow you have to go in order to make disciples. So we talk about the inner circles. What is an inner circle? An inner circle is a 3 to 5 member gender-specific group. Men only, women only. It's a closed group. Once you begin, you don't keep adding people to it like a Sunday service or a Sunday school. It exists by invitation only to believers. I cannot make a disciple out of someone who is lost. You got to be saved. And then you learn what it means to follow Jesus Christ. It exists by invitation only to believers, and it meets weekly. It is for a definite period of time. You don't meet perpetually. You don't meet forever. It means 10 months, 12 months, 18 months, and then it is done. What happens? Now, as God leads, each member in that group goes from being a student to being a teacher. They spawn and start new inner circles. See, that's what we have to do. We want to make disciples. Well, we need to make disciples who will make disciples. Now, in the inner circle, what happens? Four things happen. When you meet in this 3 to 5 member gender-specific groups, what happens? First thing you do is you study the Bible. Second thing you do is you memorize the Bible. Third thing you do is you ask questions of accountability. Again, these questions are provided. They're not invasive, but they hold you in check. And four is you pray. Last week, and I explained to you what it means to study the Bible. How do you study the Bible? At the simplest level, number one, you read the Bible. Number two, you understand the Bible. Go back and listen to that message. And number three is you apply the Bible. Simple as that. This morning, I want to focus on memorizing the Bible. When you meet together, study, memorize. How do you memorize? Why do you memorize? So let's look at that for a moment. Again, when you tell people, it is important to be a disciple, to memorize the Bible, they go, I'm too old. I can't remember like I used to. Oh, I read the Bible and that's good enough for me. I want to show you from the Bible why it is important to memorize the Word of God. Number one is this. Scripture memory was a distinguishing mark of the Old Testament saints. The oldest book in the Bible, I believe, is the book of Job, right? What did Job say? Listen to Job chapter 23, verse 12. He said, I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. What's the word next? I have treasure. How do you store treasure? You have to put it away. You have to hide it somewhere. Job, 2500 BC, somewhere about there, he says, I have treasured the words of his mouth, means God's mouth, more than my necessary food. Job memorized the Word of God. Here's something else. Scripture memory was the secret to success in life. In the Old Testament, the secret of success, by the way, success is not more money and more stuff and more popularity. What success really means is finishing well in life, finishing well in your marriage, finishing well with your children. What is the secret of success? Listen to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate. Now keep that word in your mind. We're going to come to that in a moment. You shall meditate in it day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then, if you do this, if you meditate on the word, then you will have good success. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Now, what is the difference between memorization and meditation? In the Bible, it talks more about meditation than memorization. You can memorize for a test and forget it by the end of the day. What is meditation? Meditation is much more than memorization. Meditation is taking a section, a portion, a verse of the Bible and ruminating on it, mulling over it, chewing on it, and then making it part of your life. Listen to Psalms 1 and verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, can y'all say it with me? And in his law, he meditates day and night. Meditation is not emptying your mind, calming the ripples of your soul, and letting from deep within come knowledge and wisdom and peace and joy. Meditation is not transcendental meditation. Meditation is not Eastern mysticism or Hindu philosophy or yoga or Buddhism. Meditation does not reach deep within to find something, because if you reach deep within, what you're going to find is a lot of junk. Folks, if I calm my soul and go deep within, what's going to come out? A lot of crud will come out. You say, oh no, if you reach inside, you know, you got a lot of stuff. No. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 19. Jesus said, out of the heart. What comes out? Proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. Nothing good dwells in me. I beg you, please don't try to quiet your soul and reach deep within. What you'll find is this junk. Meditation is when you take this book, the Word of God, mull over it, and make it part of your system. Sin is not out there. Sin is not out in the streets or in the movies. Sin is here. The evil that resides within me, says Paul. Scripture memory is a secret to success in life. Something else, scripture memory is also a safeguard against the pitfalls of life. Listen to what David said in Psalm 37. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Listen to this. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall fly. Which means that there will be time you will fall, but you will not permanently fall. It is a safeguard against the pitfalls of life. And here's one that is my favorite. Scripture memory was an internal armor against sin, is an internal armor against sin. The question is asked in Psalm 119. How can a young man keep his way? And you could say, how can a young woman keep her way or cleanse his way or her way? What is the answer? Psalm 119 and verse 11. I want y'all to say this with me as loud as you can. Ready? Verse 11. Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. We're doing everything possible to protect our children. We're protecting them by being there at their ball games, being there to pick them up from school, being there when they go to the children's birthday parties or sleepover. I mean, we're always there. We're hovering, protecting them from all the bad element. Did you know that the worst element is coming from within? The place where you should be giving them the armor is deep within. Out of the heart proceed all this mess. And here's one more. Scripture memory is the source of joy to God's people. Jeremiah chapter 15, 16 says, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. Now, every night about 9 o'clock, my heart, or my stomach more like, wants ice cream. Anybody else here has the same problem? I don't know how it just like goes off. It's like ice cream. I got to get ice cream. What Nicole has done is she has stopped bringing ice cream in the house. Y'all need to talk to her and say, don't do that to our pastor. Don't get him ice cream. Anyways, so I don't know what to do. So now begins the search. And night after night, I'm eating cereal bowls. I mean, that's not good. But that comes the closest, right? It's in a bowl. It has milk in it. It's cold. And then there's a smile on my face, and I go to bed happy. Now imagine, folks, if we were to come to the Word of God with that same desire, that same craving, that if I want to be happy, are y'all awake this morning? If I truly want to have joy and rejoicing, this is the book that I have to find and eat. This will bring joy and rejoicing in my heart. I'm not going to leave my house, no matter how much I have to do things. And it's a busy day, I didn't get enough night's sleep, but I am going to stop and feed upon this book because this will bring joy and rejoicing. No wonder many Christians, they are a very poor representation of the gospel. Now, time is short. Someone might say, you know, all that is in the Old Testament. You've quoted everything from the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we don't have to do these things. It's all the Holy Spirit. Actually, the New Testament assumes many of the habits and ways of thinking of the Old Testament. Here's the question to you. Who were the first believers? They were all Jewish people. They were all people, Peter, James, John, Mary Magdalene. They were all people who were steeped in this book. So even though it's the Holy Spirit who inspired them to write the Gospels and the letters, they were still writing within the worldview of the Old Testament. Scripture memory was part of their lives. The Holy Spirit does not negate the need to memorize the Word of God. Let me quickly give you some examples in the New Testament of Scripture memorization. The first one, of course, is Jesus. Did you know that Jesus memorized Scripture? Jesus was a Jewish boy. And all Jewish children men, boys and girls were required to memorize scripture until the age of puberty. The girls could memorize and they had to stop. But the boys kept on memorizing scripture. Now you say, oh, Jesus, God, you know, fully God. He did not need to memorize scripture. He knows the whole Bible. Jesus was also fully human. Listen to what Luke says in chapter 2 and verse 52. Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Of course, as God, he was at one moment walking the streets of Palestine, and at the same moment he's encompassing the entire universe, but also as fully human, he restricted himself and he memorized scripture. Did you know, anybody can tell me where we see that clearly demonstrated? When he was tempted. What happened when scripture was, when Jesus was tempted? What did he say? Each time he told the devil, it is written, and he quoted scripture. Jesus even expected his disciples to memorize scripture. John 8:31, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in him, if you abide in my word, abiding is another way of saying if you remember and keep my word as a treasure in your heart, you are my disciples indeed. Listen to what Paul said. Again, they're working from a Judeo worldview, the Old Testament worldview. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, dwell in you. Both the implanted and the external word, richly in all wisdom. And then, when Paul listed the armor of God, the breastplate, the belt, the helmet, the shoes, everything is defensive, except for one. He mentions one thing, which is actually offensive. It's a weapon. What is that weapon? The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When you are in a spiritual battle, when the enemy is attacking you, the more spiritual you are, the more attacks will come. Everybody knows that? Everybody feel the attack right now in your life, in your mind? This is the sword that helps me fight the enemy. And if I have to go, let me ask the preacher about this one. Let me check my app. Too late. You're dead. Scripture memory makes the sword readily available to me. When the enemy says, look, they ignored you. Look at that. They keep ignoring you. Keep ignoring you. Well, the Word of God reminds me, I know the plans I have for you. When the enemy says, look at her. Look at her. Keep looking. You know you want to look at her. Scripture says, it's not enough just to say, don't commit adultery. Even if you look at someone with lust in your heart, you already done it. When Scripture says, when the enemy says, oh, go ahead and get angry. You know when you get angry, when that outburst of wrath comes, people back off. People back off. They get intimidated. Use it. Use it. It always works. Outburst of wrath is not from God. You see, you need the memorization of Scripture because you can fight the enemy immediately. Finally, the writer of Hebrews tells us something very powerful. He explains the continuous inner working of the Word in us. Continuous inner working of the Word. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living. It is powerful. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Folks, the Word of God is not just working when I'm preaching to you or you're listening to your favorite preacher or you're doing a Bible study. When the Word of God is in me, even while I'm asleep, it is already going between the muscles and the joints, between the heart and the soul, and it is operating in my life. It is living and powerful. That's why scriptural memorization is so key to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. We see the why, and very quickly, how do you go about memorizing scripture? There are a lot of techniques out there. All you have to do is Google. There's so much good stuff out there. But basically, there are two mediums. Either you can go the old-fashioned way and get index cards, write scripture, make sure the reference is there, stick it in your back pocket, and memorize it all day long. Look at it. You're not memorizing like the ultra-Orthodox, the entire Babylonian Talmud. You're memorizing a scripture, John 3:16. Start with that. That's a free one. You can use it. Or you say, I'll lose it by the end of the day. Get an app. You know, there are so many apps out there that help you with scripture memorization. Here's a trick. How about all you social media addicts? How about every time before you do this, you got to look at the scripture? Some of y'all look at it like 40 times a day, like like me as well. But imagine if you were to look at that scripture 40 times a day. Do you think you'd have it memorized? Now, how does this work with the inner circle? Very quickly, our time is up. When you are in an inner circle, that 3 to 5 member group, scripture is assigned for every week. Just a verse for the whole week. And when you come together, you have to regurgitate it. You got to tell it. Now, what happens the first week? Of course, you forget. Second week, of course, you forget. By the third week, you realize, man, this makes me look bad. And you start memorizing. If you say this morning, all right, I'm just going to do this on my own, 2 weeks, you'll stop. But when there's accountability, you do it. In our church, we focus a lot on children memorizing the word. In the Sunday school, kids have to memorize the word. In Blaze worship, they memorize scripture. Awana is solely based on scripture memorization. Here's the funny thing. When those kids grow up and get to the big adult church, we tell them, guess what, kids? You don't have to memorize anymore. You know why little children are so quick to say, I believe in Jesus Christ, I can see him, I want to be saved, I want to be... You know why kids are so eager? Because the Word of God is implanted in their hearts, and the external Word is coming at them, and they're memorizing the Scripture, their faith is shining and burning brightly. It is adults who have trouble, not them. Growing up, I grew up in a Christian home, pastor's home. My dad preached this morning a few hours ago. Mom and dad had scriptures plastered everywhere in the house. But you know what happened in the process? That word of God was penetrating my mind. I would be lying to you if I say I never made any mistakes, or I never sinned, or I never did something stupid. I did, but I never went off the deep end. It was always the word of God that was roping me back in. We protect our children from the externals, and we fail to protect them from the internal. And the real enemy is coming from within. And unless the Word of God is going into their hearts, they are defenseless. And it's not enough to say, well, you memorize that, or you remember your memory verse. You have to do it. He said, my kids are grown. Amen. Now you really should do it for the grandkids. Start memorizing scripture.
Thank you so much for joining us for this message. As disciples, it's not enough to simply read God's word. We have to have the truth of scripture implanted in our hearts. The Holy Spirit then uses that truth to help us stay focused on God and to help us grow spiritually. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon's notes, check out Pastor Shaw's blog at abadanshaw.com.